بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو بسط الله الرزق لعباده لبغوا في الأرض. Had Allah Ta'ala enlarged sustenance, then there would have been wholesale transgression and corruption on the face of this earth. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. But Allah Ta'ala sends down sustenance in due proportion. When we speak about sustenance, then it does not only refer to edibles and things that we eat. It will refer to all the type of gifts that we enjoy. Health, wealth, honor, integrity, intelligence, understanding, then beauty, respect. So these are the favors that we all enjoy. And in these favors, Allah Ta'ala has restricted them, has kept it in some type of control. Had it been beyond control, everybody got whatever he had desired for, then Allah Ta'ala announces, then there would have been transgression, wholesale corruption on the face of this earth. How do you understand this? There is a very valuable property in the center of town. And everybody's got wealth. Everybody's trying for the same property. So won't there be confusion? Won't there be problems to iron out who should get the property and who shouldn't get it? There's going to be problems. Given the nature of man, this nature of yours is to compete. I must get something, I must secure things for myself. That's your very nature, right? We'll come back to this. Now someone may ask, but then what will happen to us in Jannat? So there's two answers to that. The one answer is that get yourself secured in Jannat first. Don't think you're already secured. This is how we think, you know, you're already secured. Many a times you get women phoning up, you know. My husband had lost his wife, and I'm the second wife now. The first one passed away, so I'm the second one. So in Jannat, who will be his wife there? Alright, that's not a complicated one. But sometimes you get it the other way around. That I was married to the first person, he passed away, I got married again. Then who will I go to? A man sharing two wives, you can understand that. But a woman, other way around? So you have to answer them first. By first try and secure your place in Jannat. Then you come up with the question that who will you go to? So the answer is simple. The answer is this, that in Jannat you don't have these feelings. Yeah, we have that feeling of competition. He's selling eggs, I must sell tomatoes. Or I must sell eggs also, right? And there's a competition going on. He's selling for 5 rands, so I'm selling for 4 rands. And it's going on and on and on. And that competitive nature doesn't die. So as long as you are alive, you will have that competitive nature. It's part of your makeup. You want to extract it and delete it from your nature, you can't do it. It's going to be in your nature, it's going to be in your tabiat. So Allah Ta'ala has told you in advance, okay, this is your makeup, don't you try to remove it from your makeup. But then what do you do? That's within your very makeup, it's within your nature, then what do you do with it? Like eating is within your nature, right? Sleeping is within your nature. Many a times youngsters come up and they say that we're already 20 and we're getting up to mischief, you know. So I ask them, by get married then? So no, my parents are not in agreement that I should get married. So I have to explain to them, you see, you say you're getting up to mischief, I understand what you're getting up to. In this day and age, either it's some woman that you're flirting with, or you're misusing your hand, or it's some porn that you are doing. So now all three were involved in. So I tell him, see, the right thing for you is to get married. And then you may say, no, but you know, I'm not in the position of getting married straight away. This is the general answer. So I ask them, but you are in the position of playing around like this. You're not in the position of getting married, but you are in the position of making mischief, porn, all that, right? Now, added to that, look at it from a different perspective. If you want to get caught up in this, right? You're consumed in this. Now look at the evil consequence. The evil of this is that, say after 3-4 years that you got caught up in all this, right? You got married. 3 years later you got married, right? Now you don't find your satisfaction until you don't look at this porn. So with time your wife also understands that you are getting caught up in this. When she gets it, she understands that you also got caught up with this, then she may have one of two responses. She will say, you know, you rather choose me or choose that porn. And there's going to be a bust up in the home. Then you're going to have a rocky ride. She's taken one end, you've taken another end. Can't get along. Your children are watching it. Your family, immediate and extended, they are watching it. And they will take a keen interest because they like to see drama. They like to hear news. So you become the news of the town. So either your children begin to lose respect for you, or otherwise she may say, well, if he can do it, why can't I do it? He is doing it. What's wrong if I do it? I'm a human being. I'm doing it and he is doing it. So when both of you are doing it, you'll have gone in diverse ways. You have become corrupt. She has become corrupt. You're supposed to be a role model for your children. What have you done? You have lost the sense of responsibility. So you can't allow these things to become to the level of an addiction. Now you will only get your satisfaction after you have seen this. Otherwise you can't get your satisfaction. You are with your family, but you don't get the level of satisfaction that you become accustomed to, you become habituated to. You're not getting that level of satisfaction. What must you do? You're going to try one thing or the other, you're going to try it. Or you will find yourself totally dissatisfied with your wife. So what I'm seeing is much more beautiful than what I'm experiencing here. So you don't have the level of love and muhabbat within your family. Now imagine if that was your own daughter that has become a victim to this, will you appreciate it? Now just think around, when you allow your mind to go in this circle, then you understand it in a better perspective. That you are enjoying it. Now if your daughter became a victim of this, would you appreciate this? So we're talking of this verse, وَلُوْ بَسَّتَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقُ, that Allah Ta'ala opened sustenance. Now, given the nature of this world, the nature of the world is such that everything is limited. You don't find unlimited treasures in this world. In this world, you'll find treasures but limited. What's the proof that you'll have limitations in this world? Because you just got this one continent. Can you get something beyond this continent? You can't get anything beyond this or beyond the world. Can you get anything beyond the world? So if each person says, you know, I want one continent, I want the whole Africa, and there's 5 million people, see, will you be able to divide it equally? Can't. So you understand that the nature of this world is limitation. Within this limitation, you will have to live. Right? And when you have to live, you need to understand your nature and the nature of this world. Then you get the equation right. But if you only understood your nature and you didn't understand the nature of this world, then you haven't got the equation right. Your nature is you want to compete. And the limitation and the nature of the world is that it's got its limits. So how do you add the both? Like I said, it's just one sport and 1 million people are wanting that same sport. So you'll have to have some measure that everybody will have to be observing. I'll have to observe it, you'll have to observe it. We'll all have to observe that measure, then this thing will go right. Otherwise, everybody is bargaining for the same property and they are just trying desperately. So the natural and the logical conclusion would be that be pleased with the decree and the division of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given this. Someone is given more, someone is given less. Whatever the reason was, He knows best. Right? When He knows best why is given who, what, right? Then the best thing to do, the most logical thing to do is to go with His decision, with His decree. Yesterday someone was asking me that I'm contemplating in proposing for one girl, you know. So I said, MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala let it happen. I said, no, but I got one problem. What's the problem, bhai? The problem is that the looks are not 100%. So I said, but are you compatible? I said, no, yeah, we spoke to each other, we seem to be compatible. So I explained to the person, see, compatibility, etc., you will not understand it. Get your mother to understand compatibility. Because a woman can understand a woman better. It can be more free. You aren't in a marriage, you can't be so informal with a girl. So your mother, she's a woman, she'll be able to speak to this woman, and they'll understand the level of compatibility, right? Can she fit in your home? Can't she fit in the home? So explain to the person, see, one is the looks, right? And the greater thing to look when you are choosing a partner, either way, is the convenience and the efficiency. Getting into a marriage is like purchasing a home, right? And when you are purchasing a home, you look at the looks as well. You are a little bit concerned about the looks. But the greater thing in the home is the efficiency and the convenience. Is it convenient? Is it the right spot? The location is right. The home, is it designed correctly? Is it efficient for my type of use, my type of work? Is all that in place? So you find all that efficiency, the convenience, etc., that you don't worry so much about the looks. So the same law would have to be extended when you are getting into a marriage. Now look at the girl, or the girl looks into the boy, that I see the man to be efficient, complete, comprehensive, right? Complete. Whatever I want, I think this person will manage it. Right? I want about 5 things basically, a man will say, that she must be a wife to me, a mother to my children, good to my parents, right? Upkeep the home, and she must know how to look after my interests. More or less, this is what she is required to do. But if I got a girl, she's good to me, she's good in the looks, but she's pulling up her face either before me or before my mother or before my sister or before any of my folks, then obviously I will not feel comfortable. Because then it's broken up now. I've broken up with the family, broken up with this one, broken up with that one. I don't experience the level of enjoyment that I was desirous of. Yeah. So the greater thing is to see convenience and efficiency, unlike what people go for today. People go for the looks now. After that, whether she breaks the whole family up, she breaks you up into pieces, or she is not interested in your interest whatsoever, you're not concerned. The looks, how long do they continue? They start, they're there for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years maximum. After that, what? There is the efficiency. How does she get along with your family, with your folks, with your interests, with your lifestyle? She's conforming. You say, MashaAllah, it was a good choice, MashaAllah. So Allah Ta'ala has designed this, and He has designed this that He will send down rosy, He will send down all these things, whether it's the gift of beauty, it's the gift of intelligence, it's the gift of wealth, it's a gift of reasoning, it's a gift of power and strength, might, etc. All these gifts Allah has given, He's given it in due proportion. Walaki yunazzilu biqadarin, in due proportion He sent it. Now imagine a situation, everybody is alike, identical. Everybody is alike and everybody is identical, right? How difficult it becomes. Very, very difficult. Can you now extract work from the next person? For me to be able to take out work from you, I need to have something greater than you. I must be wealthier. I must be more intelligent and capable. So I need to have some degree of superiority to take out work from you. But we are all identical. All the same level of intelligence, same level of wealth, same level of strength and might. Then how can I extract work? Now, I am somewhat superior in some respect, whether in wealth, whether in strength, whether in might, whether in intelligence, whether experience. Now I'm expected to take out work out of you. But otherwise, the way the world runs, can you extract work out from the next person? So Allah Ta'ala created this type of fluctuations that one can take out work from the other. وَلَكِ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَىٰ. So the right thing for us was then to be conforming, to be agreeable, to be happy with the plan and the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, you'll be just chasing and chasing and chasing, and you're not going to get anything more than that. You can't get anything more. Keep teasing. You will keep teasing. One level to the second level to the third level. You will keep teasing. And then what? That life has to come to an abrupt end at some point. Right? It has to come to an end. Whether you like it or you don't like it. Whether you are desirous or not desirous. Whether you dislike it or you like it. One way or the other is going to come. Right? So rather, you complete your life with enjoyment and happiness, then you complete your life grudgingly. Now I have to leave all this wealth, this property, this investments, all of that I have to leave. So rather complete the life and complete the life with happiness. You have to go through the journey. Let the journey be a happy journey. Let the journey be an enjoyable journey. So the way you will enjoy this journey is now you take yourself that you are given a seat on the plane, right? Right. So you are quite comfortable with the staff. You are quite relaxed with the arrangements and with the order and the system of the plane. Right? So you will see that you are enjoying the journey. The staff will be enjoying their journey. Right? You are enjoying the journey. They will be enjoying you. And they will be at your beck and call. Right? So they will be enjoying, you will be enjoying, you will be relaxed mentally, physically, you will be relaxed. And you will soon complete the journey. Right? But if you go, keep on fighting, sometime with the stewards, sometime with the hostess, sometime with whatever else, keep fighting, you will make your own journey miserable. Those people, they will list you, okay, in future, we don't need this type of a customer coming on, we don't need this type of a passenger coming onto our plane. So they will blacklist you, you will not be enjoyable, you will not be happy, they will not be excited with you, and they will blacklist you, they're not going to take you onto their plane again, right? So the simple thing was just be happy. Allah Ta'ala's design, this is what He's designed for me. I can't get anything more, I can't get anything less. Can't I just be happy with Allah Ta'ala's design? It is His design after all. He makes the decision. When He makes the decision, then all I need to do is just be pleased with Him. So it's such a simple thing, but you know, if only Allah Ta'ala opened our mind, then really, really, then this world will become Jannat. Because in Jannat, there isn't that competitive nature that brings about ill feelings and pain. Now, Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom, He's created that competition in this world. If there was no competition in this world, right, then you will not want to compete with each other in good works. Hey, this chacha comes to masjid, and he comes for fajr right at the azan time, before the azan is there. I must pull in a little bit before him. Or this one I see is reading so much of Quran Sharif, I can do a little bit more than him. Or this person is giving so much in charity and alms, right? How can I do a little bit more than him? Right? So He's created this type of a competitive nature, not that you misuse it and abuse it, but you use it for the right purposes, for the right goals. وَلَاكِ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِي خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. So Allah Pak is telling you that I know my servants best. I know him. What he needs, I know. So don't you teach me about my servants. So it's an indirect lesson to us by you be happy, don't complain to me. إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِي خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ is watching and he's fully aware of your needs. When he's fully aware, he's kept you in a certain position, just be happy with him. Then don't complain and don't behave grudgingly that why didn't you get this, why did he get it, why didn't I get it. Don't you have that grudging type of a tabiat and nature. You will make yourself miserable. Just be happy. Allah Pak has given me. Really, I don't even deserve this. I've got much more than what I can bargain for. Whether it is the worldly, whether it is something material, whether it is beauty, whether it is intelligent, whether it is a tangible thing, whether it's not a tangible thing. But just be happy with the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see what a difference it will make to your life. A simple thing. Just be happy with the plan of Allah Ta'ala, the design of Allah Ta'ala, and see the level of happiness. You are doing all this, you acquire all wealth, everything else, but for what? You acquire all that for happiness. So Allah Pak is showing you a simple procedure, how you can get this and how you can secure this happiness. Otherwise, you will get that, but minus the happiness. You will get whatever you are trying for, you're striving for, but the inner satisfaction, inner happiness, that inner fulfillment, you will not get that. You will not get that in your wife. You will not get that in your children. You will not get that in anywhere. In your friends, you won't get that satisfaction. Why? Because Allah Pak start asked you to start off your journey like this. You'll be happy with my decree. But he said, no, I must do it. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? You reasoned against the reasoning of Allah, against the command of Allah Ta'ala. When you reasoned against the command of Allah Ta'ala, then you'll never be happy. Then you may try what you want, you may see the figures, but minus the happiness. And you will see others, they don't have the figures, but they have got the happiness. They don't have the figures, but they got that happiness. So how did they acquire that happiness? This is what we need to work out within our minds. That I see he doesn't have the figure, but he has the happiness. He has the enjoyment. He feels that fulfillment. Whether it's at home, then he's got the love of his family. In the masjid, he's got the love of people. When he's with friends, he's got the love and the happiness with his friends. Wherever he goes, there is love for him, there's understanding with him. There is happiness and fulfillment wherever he goes. So he got this. How did he get this? That he acquired the main line. The main connection he acquired. When he acquired the main connection, then Allah Ta'ala put everything in place. Everything fell in place. But you didn't get the main line. See? Right? And you looked for some type of supplement. Yeah, supplement, just to make that thing work. You propped it up. So how long is that going to work out? You're propping up things, you're propping up here. Rather get something that is standing. Rather get something that is permanent. One student was going around in Egypt. You know. So he came across an old man. And that old man was paralyzed from head to toe, absolutely in a state of paralysis. No movement in the body. And the only movement was his mouth. He could only talk, but otherwise no movement. Absolutely no movement. So this person is a student and he saw this person here. And he happened to be a leading alim. So just for the barakat and the blessings, he went to meet him. So he asked this alim, and how do you feel? He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy with Allah Ta'ala. I'm so happy. He's got a stroke of paralysis, he can't move a limb, he's totally dependent. But what's the response? Alhamdulillah. So the student is a little bit curious, wanting to know, but this man is happy, and why is he so happy? You know, if you can't move, then you feel three-quarters of your life is gone. You can't move. From one spot to the other, you can't move. You can't make one single movement. How do you feel? Like your life is gone. No movement in you. So he says, Hazrat, but you know, I'm curious to know that you were so pleased. Why are you so happy? He says, Alhamdulillah, I got my iman. Allah Pak may have taken away other things from me, but my iman is totally safe. Alhamdulillah. Right? I can speak still. Alhamdulillah. That's the second thing. And number three, although I can't move, but really, I don't have any internal pains and injuries. Right? So if I eat, I can pass out also well. So I'm enjoying my life. Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. So I don't need any type of anxiety. I don't need to be grieving about what I'm going through. So he says, you know, but is there any need that you have that I can go and fulfill? So no, no need. All my needs are being taken care of. But anything, you know, my son has gone for one work, right? I sent him for some work. So it's some time now, half an hour passed. He's supposed to be coming back within this time. I don't see him. So anyway, he came back after an hour and he says, you know what? Your son has been ravaged by wild dogs and he's died. Right? He's died. And I did the ghusl, etc. and I buried him. Right? So he cried for that moment, my dear son, whatever. He expressed his feelings and emotions. He was my only son and he passed away. But then straight away, he couldn't raise his hand because he's paralyzed. So straight away he looks towards the heavens and he says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. I'm so pleased with you, Allah Ta'ala. I'm so happy with you, Allah Ta'ala. Now this student wants to know that why is he so happy? Was this child a problem for him? Was he a pain in the neck that he said, Alhamdulillah? So he says, Alhamdulillah, that this child of mine, I brought him up the right direction. And he was in the obedience of his father. He was serving his father. In the obedience of his father, he's been ravaged and killed by dogs, so he's a shaheed, inshallah. Right? So the grief of his death causes me pain. But then when I look at it from hindsight, I see that he died as a shaheed. So what can be better? You know, there could be a situation that this child of mine could have been in drugs. You could be womanizing. You could be busting up money and wealth. You could have been going to clubs. That could have been a real embarrassment for me. I wouldn't know where to go and hide my face in shame. Now this child has gone, but he's gone, he's came in with respect, he's lived with respect, and he went in a respectful work, and he died with respect. Although it looks a little bit difficult, right? But he died with respect. So alhamdulillah, I'm happy for him. So if our understanding, we just shift it slightly, we just shift the understanding of ours, correct that understanding of ours, that same incident of grief and pain can be an incident of happiness, can be an incident that can bring us brightness. وَلَوْ بَسَتَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِي إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِي خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. Isn't it a great lesson? Isn't it a great lesson? Something for us to understand, something for us to reflect, that if Allah Pak has taken something, and is replaced with something much better, far better. In this verses that come here in the same surah, right? Allah speaks about the pious and the righteous. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah speaks about the pious and the righteous, and He says what is in store for them, Jannat, etc., what is in store for them. But then, alright, that is your goal, that is what you are going to be getting, your reward. But how do you get up there? Right? That is, alhamdulillah, going to be the goal. May Allah Ta'ala take us there. But how do you get up there? Right? Say, I want to get to Jannat. Right? I speak to you about Jannat. What's going to be your natural response? That how do I get up to Jannat? Right? So you're going to ask, what's the path? Which path I must take? Which turn I must take? Right, left, where I must go? How must I go? I want to get up there, how must I go? So obviously, the very, very basic condition is your iman. Without iman, you can't get anywhere. But then you want to get into Jannat, problem free, right? You want to come into South Africa, right? But you want to come into South Africa, or you want to get to America, problem free. No problem on the journey. No problem as you reach up America, right? You don't want any problem with the customs, nothing in the immigrations, nothing with any authorities, you want to go straight. Right? That's what you want. Do you want to be held one day in custody? No. Do you want to be in 1 year in custody? You don't want that. You want it free, you want complete clear. So, the basic requirement was iman. But then, with iman, you got the passport, but you're not guaranteed about any security on that end. You're not guaranteed about the immigration, you're not guaranteed about the customs, etc. So now you want to guarantee that. How do you guarantee that? So Allah Ta'ala shows you, alright, this is the way. You follow this and you get the way. Ala Rabbi Mitawakkarun. Number one is you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trusting in Allah Ta'ala doesn't mean that you abandon all the asbab and the means that Allah Ta'ala has created. Really, if you are abandoning those means, then you haven't understood the system of Allah Ta'ala. It is disregarding and disrespecting the system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is asking you to adopt the systems. Like, when you feel hungry, you're supposed to be eating. You don't eat and you die, then you are sinful. Though it is Allah Ta'ala that gives life, and it is He that sustains life. Right? It is not that food that sustains your life, it is Allah Ta'ala that sustains life. But Allah Ta'ala has created this means for sustaining life. And this is a certain guaranteed means for sustaining your life. Now you abandon those means and you died in the process, you died as a gunagar. Not as a person that's got very high yaqeen. So, no, Allah Pak gives life, so I'm not going to eat. So if you left out that means that Allah has created as a qat'i means, as sure means, you know, then you're going to be sinful. Now there's going to be a lot of examples to illustrate that. You will adopt those means, you won't avoid those means. For you to come down safely from a 20th floor, you use the steps or use the lift, right? Now you avoided that, you said, no, Allah Pak gives life, Allah Pak takes life. So you came running from, you came jumping from the top. You came jumping from the top. If I go down the steps, I may miss my takbir ula. Right? Now you died. So you can't say, Allah Ta'ala, no, I meant the good thing, I meant the right thing. So I didn't adopt the means, and I came like this, I meant the right thing, Allah Ta'ala, you're going to see me favorably. I created this means, you need to adopt those means. Why did you avoid those means? So that is the one level of tawakkul. The second level of tawakkul is zanni, right? It generally works out, it doesn't have to work out. It generally works out, but it doesn't have to work out, right? Like medication, for example, it generally works out. But you get now, when you see a hospital, etc., right? The 60-70% is working out for, 20-30% is not working out for. They die in the process. Treatment, etc., you're taking medication, but you're not coming right. So 60-70% works out right, 20-30% doesn't work out right. So it's not something that is categorical. The first line of tawakkul was categorical. That's why I say that we don't understand what is tawakkul. We just hear tawakkul, trust in Allah Ta'ala. So trusting in Allah Ta'ala doesn't mean that you avoid the means, abandon the means. You're feeling cold, Allah Ta'ala has given clothes. He's given you clothes for warmth. He has given you clothes. So why didn't you adopt the means? Why did you get sick? So he's going to question you for that. Why didn't you take on those means? You should have adopted those means. So this is that second level of asbab. And the second level of asbab, you will not say that the person will become sinful because it is not categorical. It's means, it's procedures, but those procedures are not categorical. So Allah Ta'ala will relax the punishment. He will not punish you for that. Although it was not the best thing for you to do. But if someone did not adopt the means, he didn't take the medication and the process, he died. So Allah Ta'ala won't hold him sinful. He won't say that he committed suicide. In the first situation, he will hold him sinful that you committed suicide. In the second level, he will not hold him sinful, that you're not sinful. Right. So that means you adopt, it's the better thing. For most people, it's a better thing. Some people, there's just selected few, if they leave out this second level, it's all right for them. Right. Provided they don't complain for any situations that come afterwards, and provided their dependents also don't complain. They don't complain, any of their dependents do not complain. Or any of their creditors, etc., do not complain. Now you got so much of accounts standing, outstanding, then you got dependents, and you say, I'm going on tawakkul. Now who's going to pay these people here? Your creditors are complaining. Your dependents are complaining. So now you're going to be sinful for that. So if you didn't adopt those means, provided you have that type of calmness within your mind, you're going to complain, you're happy about it. Provided your dependents are also the same. Provided you don't have any creditors, any debts. You have nothing, no overheads. And you've taken the second level. Inshallah, you won't be gunega. You won't be sinful. So for that person who doesn't have that type of complaining, he doesn't complain, he's happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, he's happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, and he leaves out those means, he will not be sinful. But for that person, it is mustahab that he leaves out those means. Right? It's mustahab only. It's just a preferable thing. He doesn't do it, it's not a guna. If he does it, it's not an act of virtue. Yes, it is preferable in some respects for the person who doesn't complain at all. Then the third level is a level where what we need to adopt. The third level of tawakkul is the need, is that level of tawakkul which we need to adopt. Right? And the third level is, you know, they talk about the story of the Sheikh Chilli, you know, lengthy hopes, you know, I mean that investment and here and there in Africa, and if Africa collapses then in London, and if London collapses then I got in offshore America, here, there, everywhere. And this thing falls and I got some insurance cover, I got this, I got that. So many arrangements, so much security, then where does Allah Ta'ala come in through this equation? I ask you that you say I trust Allah Ta'ala, then where does Allah Ta'ala come in this equation? Because for everything you got an investment, for that investment you got some counter investment, for that counter you got some insurance, and for that insurance you got some other backup. So I ask you now, where does Allah Ta'ala come into this equation? Did you trust Him at any level? At no level have you trusted Allah Ta'ala. Whereas in other respects where it was convenient to you, you trusted Allah Ta'ala, didn't you? When it was convenient to you, you trusted Allah Ta'ala. You were sitting on a plane, that thing took off. Who do you trust on at that time? That thing mustn't crash. It's a turbulent that is going up and down like that. At that time, just ask yourself, just close your eyes for that moment now. You know, if you ever experienced that turbulence, that thing went right down, sometimes 50 meters gone down, coming up again, right? At that time, what is the, you may show a good face and all that, just to show that you are brave, right? But at that time, ask yourself, who do you ask for? Who do you turn to at that time? It's only Allah Ta'ala that will make it work now. You don't worry about how pious you are, and you know, how righteous and taqwa, you read tahajjud that morning, you don't talk about anything. At that time, Allah Ta'ala, you, Allah Ta'ala, bail me out, please, Allah Ta'ala. There's some wrongs I'm doing, I'll leave that out. But Allah, just see me out here. So when you are trusting in Him, then shouldn't you trust Him here as well? Or is our trust in Allah Ta'ala selective? It's a selective trust. Where it suits us, there we trust Allah Ta'ala. Where it doesn't suit us, then we don't opt to do that type of trusting. So we trust in Allah Ta'ala. So this will apply to everything, every facet of our lives. In our marriage, in our children, we trust in Allah Ta'ala. Whatever Allah you have given now, we trust in you, inshallah, it will be for the better. Now, if you know, take it right through the end. I got married to this girl here now. What something happens to her? And what if, you know, something negative I found about her, I discovered about her, then what? What must I do? What is the plan B for this? What is the plan C for this? See? So then you become at a level of paranoid. See? And people know then how to work you. But they just create one fear for you and they can make you paranoid. See? So that level of tawakkul is not required. That is not the right thing. This third level, that's wrong. You make sufficient, alhamdulillah, khata pita, you eating, drinking, you continue your life, just carry on. Trust in Allah and move. And the way to strengthen this tawakkul is, don't mind if I tell you, look at your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, right? How many properties they owned? They didn't own much, but they lived, isn't it? And they produced more children than you or less children than you. They had bigger homes than you or less smaller homes than you. They lived, they enjoyed, they were good people, alhamdulillah, and they continued their road. Right? Now, what Allah Ta'ala, na'uzubillah, that time Allah Pak was different, and now Allah Pak is different, what? That Allah Ta'ala, they had another Allah Pak then, and we have got another Allah Pak now. Or, he had spent out all his treasures and everything is depleted, now must get everything now. Is that the case, what? So when you're believing in the same Allah Ta'ala, our parents, grandparents, they lived, they continued, many of them didn't have homes. They have their own properties, right? Some part of their lives, later on, then they got some property, right? But when they started off, they had no properties. They came in barehanded. They did something small, and they continued with their lives. They lived happy lives, alhamdulillah, they were strong. They were capable people. And they were more productive than you in respect to children, etc. They were more productive. So now, why can't we think like that? How did they get this type of productivity? It was their trust in Allah Ta'ala. So can't I be like that? So when I say production, I talk of trust. The trust doesn't mean that you must be radical. One person, he heard on bayan, but sometimes you hear a bayan and you hear it half. You don't hear it full. So no, you must trust in Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala will make everything work out. Right? You must trust in Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala will make everything work out. So when he heard the bayan, he says, no, you must trust in Allah Ta'ala. You spend one and he'll give you 10 folds or whatever. So he had about 10 rupees or something in his pocket. That time in India they were using gold coins. They call it Ashrafi. So he gave that 10 Ashrafis, he gave it out. And he's happy now. See, I gave 10, and as it is promised, the Mullah gave the bayan, I'll get 100 in lieu of the 10. Now he went, said, you know, he went out of the town. And he's waiting for that 100 to come. Now, nothing happened first day. Now, when he, there's nothing, and all that he had was 10, and he expected 100 to come. Now, he began to get ghabrat. In that ghabrat, in that pareshani and that uneasiness, he began to get motions and jullab. Now, life is getting pareshan with him, bhai. He was making the whole house stink here. In the olden days, they didn't have the type of convenience that we have now. So she chased him out of the house. Well, you go, you get yourself sorted out, then you come in. Now he's there, and he's squatting now. You know. He just got one motion, and the second motion, and he's hardly finished the second one, the third one is coming up. So I don't know if you've seen the villages, when they're squatting position, right, or they're relieving themselves, then they're scratching the ground also, you know, something like this. So by the third day, he's scratching the ground, and he gets something interesting, and he pulls it out, he sees that 100 there. So, he hardly cleaned himself correctly, he ran straight to the Mulana. He said, Mulana, you know what, you gave the bayan, that was right what you said. But you said it half. You know, you have to scratch the ground, you'll get motions also, you know. That's the other part that you're supposed to get, that you'll get motions as well. So now that is a wrong understanding of tawakkul. One is, as I said, categorical, you have to apply it. Right. One is, is not absolutely categorical. That is for those people that will not complain at all. Not complain, absolutely no complain. And nobody has got any claims against them, then they can adopt the second. And the third one is something that is undesirable, not like, you've got so much of, you know, so much of covers, one cover over the other cover, and the third cover, and the fourth cover, right, at some point, trust in Allah Ta'ala. You've got some investments running well. Now, why can't you trust in Allah Ta'ala? He took care of your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. He took care of you. So he won't he take care of you for the rest of your life? So if you have that type of trust in Allah Ta'ala, then he will deal with you in the same way. But you feel, no, that I must have these type of covers for my life to run, then he'll make your life miserable. One cover over the other cover, the third cover over the fourth cover, then he'll make your life miserable for you. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Then Allah Pak says, إِسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. They are such that they surrender to the command of Allah Ta'ala straight away. They don't ask questions. Allah Ta'ala makes a command, bas. It's the command of Allah Ta'ala, let it be. That's the third quality of these people that are going to Jannah straight, to the higher ranks. What? That when they get a command of Allah Ta'ala, they're not questioning it. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala, I need to surrender. Whether my mind and my intellect is understanding or not, it's identifying, relating or not, I'm going to surrender. I've surrendered to him in principle. So these are secondary matters, I must surrender to him. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. The fourth feature of these people is, when they become angry, it's natural to become angry. It's not unnatural to become angry. It's something that is going against the grain. You must get angry, you must get upset. But then in that state of upsetness, what are you going to do? Are you going to blow your top? Are you going to become uncontrollable? Are you going to say things and behave in a way that is not imaginable and not desirable? What are you going to do? So Allah says, they forgive and they forget. Azizi Rahmatullahi says that one person was desirous to meet Awliya Kiram, right? And he says, I went up and met 500 Awliya Kiram. And I asked them all 500 of them, I asked one set of questions. And all gave the same answers. One of the questions that they had been asked is, Hoshyar Admi Kon Hai? You know, Hoshyar, when you say, it's like a murakkab, so it's a conjunction, two words put together, Hosh and Yar. You know, you say, Dood Wala. So Hosh Wala. So that's the meaning of Hoshyar. So Wala is one person of intelligence, person of understanding. So who is that person of understanding? Who is an understanding person? So all the answer was one and the same. Hoshyar, the person of intelligence is that person, jo pareshan nahi ho. Pareshan again is a conjunction, two words put together to make one word. Pareshan is coming from the word pari. Pari is to fly, and shan is hal, condition. Pari is to fly. Now that person is not such, okay, he's uncalm, he's unsettled, mentally, physically. He's not an unsettled person, he's calm, he's relaxed. So in his decisions he's calm. In his ways and behavior he's calm and consistent. He's a relaxed person. So the decisions that he will make will be better, right? Like it's a man who's pulled out a gun, right? But he's not settled. He's shaking. He's got Parkinson's, right? What's going to happen? So someone has got Parkinson in his hand. Someone has got Parkinson in his magaj. He's not a stable person. One day he's high, one day he's low. So you don't say that person is Hoshyar. Why? He's got Parkinson's. He's unstable. One day he's very high, one day he's very low. He's good, he's very good. And he's broken down, he's broken down very badly. So no. إِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. When in that state, when you're angered, when you're upset, then you haven't lost yourself, you within control. Whatever has happened, it's happened. It had to happen, it happened. It's a decree of Allah Ta'ala, but you didn't lose yourself. You didn't lose yourself. No matter what happened, the whole world is turning around, but you haven't lost yourself. Okay. Hazrat gave an incident. He said the royal elephant had broken loose. So the king had made a proclamation, made an announcement. Everybody was going to their homes and must shut their doors. Now, in the meanwhile, everybody shut their doors. One child, 5-7 years of age, that thing is left there. And that animal is just within 5-6 meters of the child. Now, how to go and save the child? Nobody got the guts to do it. What to do? Must we see the child just being trampled to death? So anyway, that child is totally relaxed. It's calm. He's not perturbed at all. He saw a pup, you know, small little pup, and he caught it by the tail. He just swung that thing and smashed it right on the trout of the animal. Now these animals, when they hear some type of an ajeev sound, you know, some strange sound, they get shocked up. A sound that they are not familiar with, if they hear it, they get shocked up. So when the elephant heard that noise, that thing took a U-turn and went back. Got a shock treatment, it went back. Now, Hazrat is bringing the point that look at this small little child, 7 years of age, he was cool, calm, relaxed, not perturbed by what's going around. He could manage to control himself and take the right type of decision at the right hour. But this big mass, that may be 300 times bigger than the small little child, that thing lost itself. With that huge mass of it, so big, so powerful, so mighty, but when it lost itself, then what happened? It lost the game. The whole game was lost. It lost itself. So what he's trying to get up here is that, see, in that state of anger, you're uneasy, you are overcome with some fikr, some pareshani, etc. You need to learn how to relate to situation. You need to learn to how to identify, how to calm yourself. Otherwise, you can't call yourself a man. Then with all that mess and all that might and all that power, then you're not a man. You're not hoshyar. You're not the man of understanding. Like I said, you got Parkinson in your brains. Others got Parkinson, physical Parkinson. You got mental Parkinson. You're not stable. See, وَإِذَا مَا غَذِيبُهُمْ يَخْفِرُونَ. When they are overcome with anger, then they forgive. And the easy way how you bring about yourself into that position of forgiveness, you think to yourself, right, this person that I am getting angry with, I'm getting upset with, right, perhaps he is under me for some reason or the other. But I am under someone as well. I am under Allah Ta'ala. If he is under me, then I am under Allah Ta'ala. Right? And how many wrongs do I have daily with Allah Ta'ala? If he is doing one, two wrong, he is mixing things up, he's messing things up. Right? Then how many wrongs from the night, from the morning to the night, how many wrong things I have with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? And if Allah Ta'ala starts to whack me and whoop me for every misdemeanor that I commit, what will be the end of me then? So he's covering me from the morning to the evening, this mistake, that mistake. If you count, you know, the smaller, bigger mistakes, and sometimes your tongue is saying something wrong, your eyes are doing something wrong, your ears is listening to something wrong. So all around, sometimes your heart is going in wrong directions. Right? You think too much of yourself. So there's so much of misdemeanors that you are committing from the morning to the evening. If for every misdemeanor Allah tried to smash you, there would be nothing left of you. So he's covering you up so much and he's forgiving you so much, right? Then how much should you be forgiving towards his servants? Right? You being his servant, he's forgiven you. So his servants, can't you be forgiving? Can't you be considerate? Can't you overlook their mistakes? So when you look at it more calmly, more collectively, you calm, you relaxed. You are a consistent person. People love you, you love people. You are enjoying your work because you are a calm person, you are a collected person. You are not impulsive, you are not just doing things madly. So this is the third feature of this righteous person, as the Quran Sharif is counting them, that وَإِذَا مَا غَذِيبُهُمْ يَخْفِرُونَ. Others used to say that this impulsive nature, this getting angry and overcome with anger, this is breaking homes, is breaking everything. Businesses, empires, relationship, homes, everything are just getting broken down just because we don't know how to remain calm, steady in situations. Another tawfiq nasib kar.